Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you, do some research, go to websites, look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
City on the Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country and really throughout the world to come join us, come and learn with us. God is so good. He is in the midst of this City on a Hill, and He is getting us ready. And today, Ms. Christina, I just look at God's Word, and I am led to John chapter 1, verse 23. Where John says, "I am the voice of one calling in the desert, make straight the way of the Lord." And I think that is such an awesome word from God. And we're so grateful to be joined by our dear friend from Israel, Luden. And but we want to start this show off with giving it to God in prayer. So, Ms. Christina, would you mind starting us off?
Not at all. Father God, we just come before you on this blessed holy day of Feast of Tabernacles. And Lord, we just thank you for the blessing of you, of your might, your majesty, and your wonderment, Lord. We know that during this feast, we are to rest in tabernacle with you with a joy, Lord, with a joy of you in our hearts. And Lord, as we proceed with the show today, we just ask that the Spirit just cover us in your blessings, that the words that we put forth, Lord, will minister to those that are listening. And Lord, we just lift up all those that are listening that have heavy hearts. And Lord, we just pray that your Spirit will lift them as they listen to us today. And the words that we speak will really touch their hearts. Lord, people need to repent and come back to you. And we pray, Lord, that they will receive the message, that we need to repent and turn back to you. So Lord, that is our prayer today, that the Spirit just touches all those that are hearing and listening, and that you guide our words today. Lord, we thank you and honor you and give you all the glory. In your precious and holy name, Yeshua, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Ms. Christina. And, you know, God is so good. He does order our steps, and we see it time and time again. And I'm just really asking for the blinders to be removed in many people's eyes. And I'm thinking that John, you know, he wanted people to recognize who Jesus was. He was preparing them to recognize who Jesus was because it means eternity for them. So We're so glad to be able to speak to someone who is living in the apple of God's eye, Israel, our friend Luden. And Luden, I think you have a gift from God. Your calling is to report, to share what you know. And you've done a fantastic job. And if you don't mind, Luden, share with us right now. I know you're in the middle of the feast. Would you share with us what is going on today and what you're seeing around Israel also?
Well, thank you for having me once again on your show. The current events that basically are coming out of Israel and Jerusalem, we should all understand that the Assad regime up in Syria...
Oh, Luke, I'm sorry, I have to ask you this, Luke. Do you think you can turn up your volume just a little bit more? Sorry. Or I guess maybe get closer to the speakerphone or something, because I'm not hearing you very well. It might be just me, though, but go ahead.
No, his volume's very low.
How about now?
But just talk, Luton, and we'll know.
Okay, I was mentioning the events that are basically coming out of Syria. We need to understand that the Russian government, led by Putin, has basically continued to veto any resolutions that came against Syria. So they came up with an idea to have so-called the Assad regime up in Syria basically hand over these chemical weapons that he's holding in secret locations throughout all of Syria. But the problem is that right within Syria, we have many terrorist organizations that are basically operating within Syria. Al-Qaeda is well and alive in Syria, and you have many other terrorist factions that, if they do get their hands on these chemical weapons, I'm sure they will not hesitate and possibly strike, these chemical weapons against Israel. Not just that, but up in the Golan Heights, there have been mortar shells that have been already fired into the Golan Heights, which is basically within Israel. So, the United Nations just understand that the United Nations basically has done nothing to really put an end to the violence that's happening within Syria. You know, over 100,000 Arabs have been killed already in Syria, and the civil war basically continues. And the civil war basically began because people wanted change within Syria. If you know anything about history, we need to know that Assad's father did the same thing in the past. He killed over 100,000 Arabs himself when they tried to have change within Syria. So we see the same consequences coming with his son. He doesn't want the people to have, as we say here in Israel, democratic elections or people have the right to speak out against what they see as injustices. But the Russian government led by Putin basically, like I said before, when America and Great Britain or France basically tried to pass a UN resolution through, China and Russia basically veto these resolutions against the Syrian regime. But on the other hand, we must look at what's happening with Syria. Now, let me be clear. Syria is basically supported by Iran, and as you know, Iran basically has defied every UN resolution, the IAEA, which is the Atomic Energy Commission, and they continue to develop these nuclear facilities or reactors, which are basically intact. They are already in operation, and they're trying to develop a nuclear bomb by enriching uranium, which could possibly could be mounted on a warhead missile, and basically fired towards Israel. Iran has already stated time after time after time. You have the Ayatollah, the new leader in Iran, has basically called for the total destruction of Israel, and they have stated that they will march all the way towards Jerusalem and take the entire land. But let's go over to Lebanon. We have in Lebanon, we have Hassan Nasrallah, who basically has over 10,000 rockets that are basically facing towards Israel. And Hassan Nasrallah basically is being supported by, guess who? Iran. And, you know, the Middle East basically is in a lot of turmoil right now. We don't know what's going to happen in Syria, but we need to continue to pressure the government leaders throughout the world to push the leaders like America, Great Britain, France, Russia, and China to basically step up and basically rid of all these chemical weapons that are within Syria. The latest news that I was looking at earlier was that Assad basically is already smuggling his chemical weapons into Lebanon via tunnels because he knows that if the the Israeli government sees that these weapons are being transferred over into Lebanon, the Israeli government or the Air Force basically will take them out, which is basically the right thing to do because if Nasrallah, who basically has an army of 50,000, 60,000 terrorists that are basically like an army, they get their hands on these weapons. We don't know what could happen here. Not that long ago, maybe three weeks ago, many Israelis went to get, their gas masks, preparing for the worst. But America basically is trying to negotiate these chemical weapons to be handed over to the international community. Let me tell you something, all the listeners that are listening in America, that's not going to happen. This Assad will not basically turn over all these chemical weapons to the international community. It's not going to happen. This guy is a terrorist who basically is killing his own people. He has gassed his own people. And let me remind you now, this is not the first time that he has gassed the Syrian people. This is maybe the third time that this has happened. So Russia, by basically sticking their hands in Syria, and let me tell you why, because they already have their navy there, and they have ships right within Syria, and they want to control this region here by having a military presence within here in the Middle East. So basically, this is what's happening here in the Middle East. In Egypt, we know that Mohamed Morsi has been overthrown by the military, and they're cracking down on the Muslim Brotherhood. Today, the reports that were coming out was that the Egyptian new government led by the military has frozen all the assets of the Muslim Brotherhood, which I think and I believe is a good idea because Mohamed Morsi was basically making his way in to basically start imposing Sharia law and other changes, and people basically didn't want this to happen, and they came out there in the masses. I mean, hundreds of thousands of people basically came out, and that's what really overthrew the Morsi regime up in Egypt. But the thing is that the Muslim Brotherhood basically is already infiltrated in Syria, and they are basically fighting against the Assad regime. And if you know anything about what happened in Libya.
I'm sorry, Luden. Let me ask you. I don't know, Ms. Christine, are you having a hard time understanding Luden? Because
being a very hard time understanding him. A very hard time.
Okay, Luden. I'm hearing you, and I'm hoping I followed you pretty well, but I just want to ask, who are you saying has, did you say something about infiltrated? Who has infiltrated who?
The Muslim Brotherhood has infiltrated in Syria and is fighting against the Assad regime, is what he said.
Okay.
Luden,
okay.
Let me ask you a question. Maybe you can get closer to your phone or get it closer to you, because it's almost like you're in a tunnel and we're hearing an echo. But the question I want to ask you is, you know, our president is currently, yesterday, he waived a law here that we have against aiding and abetting our enemy, which is Al-Qaeda. Yesterday, he waived that law to give him the right to arm Al-Qaeda. He's going to arm Al-Qaeda and the Muslim Brotherhood over in Syria to fight against Assad. We've moved battleships in, we've moved aircraft, we've moved troops, we've got all kinds of movement going on. What do the people in Israel think of the fact that the United States is getting ready to arm Hamas, Hezbollah, Muslim Brotherhood, Al-Qaeda? What do they think of that, Luden?
Well, there's nothing new that... you know, this is nothing new to the Israelis. The Israelis are very aware of what's happening within the Obama.
Can you come closer to your phone somehow?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, but you're liking
it a little bit better.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't have my laptop. This is one of the problems. I wasn't big. Coming in tonight because I'm waiting for my laptop to be fixed. But anyway, most Israelis are aware of what's happening with the Obama administration, of him basically trying to support, like he did in Egypt, the Muslim Brotherhood. And we already knew that because Obama had much of everything to do with the overthrow of Hosni Mubarak. So this is nothing new to hear us that live in Israel. And we know that he's funding many groups that are within Syria trying to overthrow Assad. But not just that. The American administration just gave $150 million to the Fatah here in Ramallah. And I think 15, 20 million of that money is going to fund terrorists who are in the prisons here in Israel. So this is nothing new to most of us here.
Well, it's
okay, Ms. Christina, I think there's two ways to look at this. I can understand the way that Israel has to look at it, you know, because they have to look at it from the standpoint of who is their greatest enemy right now, and they're thinking it is Iran. But then, of course, here in the States, we know, you know, who has physically come, you know, to try to destroy our people, and it has been Al-Qaeda. So we're kind of in the middle. But then I think to myself, if you make a wrong move, you know, either ways, I mean, I think the bottom line is, doesn't it talk about all of them pretty much uniting in the end? So I think to myself...
The caliphate, but what's happening now when you say Iran is the enemy, you know, the biggest enemy, Iran funds Hezbollah, Hamas, Al-Qaeda, and the Muslim Brotherhood. So by us funding Al-Qaeda, the Muslim Brotherhood, and Hamas and Hezbollah, we're funding Iran. We're helping Iran. And this is the insanity of this. Our president is actually going to help Iran. Because you can't fund those groups. Yeah, you can't fund those groups without it benefiting Iran. Iran is funding them. Along
yeah,
with
I think, well, that's right. I think, I mean, it's really, we're in the middle. We're going to lose either way because
The last thing we need to do is be funding our enemy, and yet we're going to do that. So, yes, we are coming into that point of the caliphate, and that's what they want to do, unite under this caliphate.
And I hate to even think of what kind of armaments they're going to give to their enemy. And, Luden, I'm sorry. Are you trying to fix your phone?
What I have is my camera, and it has a built-in mic.
You're much better now, Luden.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't have my laptop. It crashed on me last week, so hopefully that'll be taken care of.
Well, you're much clearer now, so good. Whatever.
Okay, whatever I did, I don't know what I did.
Good.
I was just going to say
that's where we are, to where we're very concerned with what we see going on and the fact that our president would even be willing to fund, you know, the terrorists. And he says that they're moderates and they're this. No, they're not. They're terrorists. And we know it. You know it. But,
I don't know. I believe that the president of the United States, Barack Hussein Obama, I believe that he has a hidden agenda that is not being revealed only to those who really are having their eyes open of what's happening, because, you know, 5 years of sanctions over in Iran have not worked. They knew that over in Iraq, Iraq was funneling hundreds of millions of dollars to basically help with the sanctions that were being brought by the West against Iran. And basically, those money that were coming from Iraq basically were a lot of American taxpayers' dollars. And 5 years of sanctions have not done anything to deter these nuclear reactors that have been built. And, you know, let me tell you something. Audience that's listening out there, the Russian government or the Russian scientists have been the ones that have developed these nuclear reactors over in Iran. And, you know, if the world basically has turned their eyes the other way, I mean, something's wrong. You know, we overthrew Libyan, Muammar Gaddafi, but let me tell you something. Muammar Gaddafi was not a threat to anyone.
No, he wasn't.
I think the real threat within Libya now is the Muslim Brotherhood.
And Mubarak wasn't necessarily a threat. He kept the peace with Israel. He did a lot of things. I mean, he may not have been a good guy, but he at least was not necessarily a threat.
Let's go back in history here. Who were the ones that murdered Anwar Sadat? The Muslim Brotherhood.
Muslim Brotherhood, yes.
Absolutely. And you know, Obama, the Obama administration gave Mohammed Morsi's government, I believe it was $400 million for the elections that they had. Where did that money go to? I mean, where's that money?
I know. He gave him $8 billion, too. Secretly. We didn't even know about it. He gave him $8 billion to Morsi. Our president is on the side of the Muslim Brotherhood, and that's what's so terribly frightening right now.
You know, let me go back a few years. I mean, let me go back 5 years ago when Barack Hussein Obama was running for the nomination of the Democratic Party. I warned people that this is the man that people needed to vote against.
Yes.
And, And people turned a blind eye and they basically voted this Barack Hussein Obama in. And I'm not blaming all the economical issues on him, but all he has done basically is print money, fund different factions of regimes that basically want the total destruction of Israel. As we speak, the Israeli government is basically sitting down with the Fatah movement in Ramallah, negotiating so-called peace, land for peace. Never heard of. I mean, how much land is Israel has to give up because John Kerry came here, he flew into Israel, in the last 4 or 5 months, he's been here maybe 15 times. Trying to broker a so-called peace agreement. And, we as Jews or Israelis or whatever you want to call us, we're tired of war. But at the same time, we are not allowed to give up any land that was allotted to us by the God of Israel. Enough is enough. We displaced 9,000 Jews from Gaza. Gush Katif, and most of these people, my brothers and my sisters, which are Jews, basically still don't have their own homes, and that happened because of the Bush administration, and I covered these news, and I saw Condi Rice coming here, and 14,500 rockets have been fired from Gaza into Israel? Come on. Enough is enough. But we're not to negotiate the land of Israel to this man named Mahmoud Abbas, who basically is surrounded by a bunch of terrorists.
Lynn, I don't know if you've heard. Oh, go ahead, Mr. Smith.
No, Annie, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to make a point. I don't know if you've already seen the latest about let's see, I can't even pronounce his name, Mohamed Elibieri or something like that, who is a security advisor chosen by the administration that is, he calls himself a senior security council advisor. Have you heard of him? And he's a Muslim Brotherhood.
The one that Obama just promoted?
Yeah, Mohamed Elibieri, I guess that's what
I can't pronounce it.
A Homeland Security advisor, and he is a Muslim Brotherhood supporter, and he's right there, in one of the top positions of Homeland Security.
Yep.
And it's already, I'm looking at an article where he has already done things, and I think he was the one that was questioned by Michelle Bachmann. And
yes.
Others, because he downloaded
Louis Gohmert, Louis Gohmert.
Yeah, and showed it off to the media to pretty much to try to put that that Perry was Islamophobic and that Texas government agencies had this Islamophobia. And I'm thinking, I think this is going to be the wave of the future with Homeland Security, Ms. Christina. And
one of his best friends, who's also from Dallas, Texas, is heading up the forces in Syria with the Muslim Brotherhood. He went from Texas over to Syria and is heading up the Syrian, not the so-called freedom fighters, but the terrorists, the Muslim Brotherhood. He's heading that up over in Syria, and he's good friends with this Barahidi that is now in our Homeland Security. And this guy was instrumental. He was the one that caused our FBI, our Homeland Security, all of our military and everyone to purge all Islamic jihad information from their learning manuals. And so this president has purged all of that to tell them that, a terrorist, a jihad, all what all that means. Now that's purged. So they're not taught this stuff anymore. And this Barahidi was the guy instrumental in getting that done. So they're already setting policy in our government, the Muslim Brotherhood. is setting policy. And this Tariq Ramadan is another one that was banned from the United States under the Bush administration, Muslim Brotherhood, and Hillary Clinton reinstated him to come into the United States.
Oh, and Lynn, that is their ploy, isn't it? To ingratiate themselves to places of power, to be seen as the good guys, and all along it is a part of the plan, which makes it very dangerous because, unfortunately, they are already in our government. And
well, Hillary brought in Uma. Uma,
yeah,
the one that's married to Anthony Weiner. She's Muslim Brotherhood. And she was Hillary Clinton's chief of staff.
So we have a lot even here at home. But Lynn, tell us a little bit about Lebanon. What are you hearing around Lebanon?
Well, the report that I was looking to earlier says that a Saudi newspaper has claimed that Bashar Assad is using tunnels to smuggle his chemical weapons into Hezbollah.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not a good sign, because what they're doing is they're trying to basically hide all these chemical weapons before the inspectors come back in to basically start basically counting how many chemical weapons and where they are. So basically he is smuggling them into Lebanon to Hezbollah, and Hezbollah is basically a terror organization led by Hassan Nasrallah. But last week, the Syrian regime, they agreed to a Russian brokered deal. Who cares about the Russians? The Russians don't care about the Syrian people. All they care is about the military naval, that they have here in Syria, and they basically don't care what happens to Assad. These chemical weapons basically are being handed down to Hezbollah, who is basically a proxy to Iran.
Iran,
led by Hassan Nasrallah, who basically, he is in hiding. When he comes out to give a speech or so, he does it in a secret location via camera, because he knows that if he comes out of his, I call them rat holes, because he's hiding like a rat after what he's done to Israel and to many others. This guy basically wants the destruction of Israel. So if he gets his hands on these chemical weapons, we don't know what will happen. And I just don't understand why the American administration, having deployed all these naval ships, off the coast of Syria, basically did not go and basically put a stop to these actions that Assad has taken against, innocent Arabs that basically want to live just like everybody else and want to change. And, if it was time to act, that was the time. So he's going to give them another year till next November to come clean. By the time November comes in, all these chemical weapons will be hiding, hopefully not in Lebanon, but that's what the report says, that they are using tunnels to smuggle chemical weapons to Hezbollah. So that's what's happening.
You said it earlier, Luden, when you said that Barack Hussein Obama has an agenda. And that's exactly the answer to what you just said. He has an agenda, and his agenda is not the interest of Israel, and it's not the interest of the United States. It's the interest of the Muslim Brotherhood. And that is so scary right now, is because our president, unfortunately, should be impeached. He's committing treason against the United States. And America seems to be asleep. I don't know what in the heck's wrong here in America, but it's we're asleep. And while we're asleep, there was an interesting book that I read many years ago. It was called While Europe Slept. And while America is sleeping and Europe is asleep, and in the meantime, radical Islam is just growing at a rapid rate. And now they're empowered because we do have such a weak president. Well, I don't know that I call him weak. I just call him an agenda president, because we know his agenda is anything but in the best interest of freedom and peace and liberty.
You know, not just supporting you know, our nation here in Israel, but I think, you know, the agenda that this Barack Hussein Obama should have had, if any, was to take care of the American people. You know,
That's not his agenda.
I understand that, but it has not happened. It will not happen. Because he has a world agenda to basically do to this Muslim Brotherhood, and to support anything that has to do with Islam. You know, we have to understand what Islam is, and Islam. And I'm not saying all Arabs are bad people. Don't get me wrong. Don't misquote me. But radical Islam has an agenda, and that's the destruction of Israel, to conquer all of Israel, not just part of Israel. And we see that with the movement here in Fatah, who basically continue to say, you know, we want not just a piece of land, we want the entire land, and we want to push out all the Jews out of the ocean. And if Barack Hussein Obama, doesn't know this, you know, he needs to wake up and understand that radical Islam is already operating within the movement of Fatah, led by Mahmoud Abbas, and they want the destruction of Israel. You know, we just released 102 terrorists because the American administration, led by Barack Hussein Obama, basically pushed for this so-called peace agreement deal that is taking place, led by John Kerry and others, you know, behind closed doors. No news or any reporters are allowed to even get close or find out or even speak to these people that are leading these negotiations. But Israel is going to be releasing a few more hundred terrorists because the Obama administration continues to push Israel to give in. You know, how much Israel needs to give in? Enough is enough. 10,000 Jews were displaced. 14,000 rockets have been fired. And if this so-called peace agreement, at least 20 so-called peace agreement, if the so-called Palestinians get their hands on Judea and Samaria, if you know anything about Samaria, it's up high on hills. And if they get that region there, they can easily fire any rockets to any city within Israel. So, you know, the world needs to wake up that we're living on time, that the world needs to basically come, you know, and be a supporter of the nation of Israel.
Unfortunately, that's not going to happen. Our president is not, because he does not support Israel. He wants Israel weakened. He wants the United States weakened. He doesn't support America. That's what's really sad. It's not that he doesn't understand. He understands perfectly, Luden. He's just a part of it. He's on the wrong side. He's not on America's side either. You know, Islam, radical Islam, wants to take down the great Satan, which is America. And he is going to facilitate that.
This is why we
don't close our borders either, and we're getting all these terrorists coming up from South America through Mexico into the United States.
Right through Canada.
Yes, through Canada as well, but more from the southern borders, because they're wide open, and he refuses to do anything about the border.
All that region there by Arizona, they can just walk right in.
That's exactly, and they are. They are. They're threatening our American families. They come across armed to the teeth. They're terrorists. And they're coming into the United States in droves. And our president is allowing this. You know, we have to wake up to reality and understand that the United States is in a position that we've never been in before. We have never supported the enemy against our own people, and now we are. This president is against Americans. And sadly, this, you know, we've got a really bad situation over here. But what I was going to say was, you know, there's a series, a video series. It's called Against All Odds, Israel Survives. And it talks about all the things that have occurred since Israel became a state and how God has his hand of blessings upon that nation. The miracles that have occurred in each and every war that Israel has triumphed. And, you know, to me, we need to look to that. There's so much bad and so much evil and darkness that's going on right now. We know, you know, it's leading to a very bad place. And if we're not careful, you know, this president here is going to lead us into World War III with radical Islam. But God is greater. And that's what we have to keep our focus on. God is greater. And that is his land over there. And he is not going to allow radical Islam to take Jerusalem. And you can take that to the bank.
No, I understand that. I understand that we're out of shadow of a doubt. But my question would be, let's go back 5 years ago. You know, where were the church leaders of America?
Good question, Luden.
where were the so-called prophets of America, if there are any, which I really doubted, when they basically were holding elections? You know, most of the churches were saying, vote for Obama. Come on.
Yeah, I know. Even in 2012, you don't even have to go back 5 years, 2012. 25 million evangelical Christians, supposedly, voted for him. The Catholics voted for him. So, unfortunately, the Christians in this nation have gone to sleep. The pastors have gone to sleep. The churches are leaderless. They've apostated away from God. They've compromised themselves into oblivion. So they've rendered themselves irrelevant.
You know, I have seen buses of so-called Christians come here to Jerusalem.
Yes.
And have T-shirts on saying, Israel, stop occupying the land. You know, I'm outspoken to my people Israel, and I put my life on the line every time I speak on terror against Israel. And I went and I approached the leader of these two buses that basically were going to Damascus gates, all Arabs. And I said, what do you mean Israel stop occupying the land? And they would not talk to me. But it goes to show you where so-called Christians are.
Yes.
Nowadays, and they continue to be fooled by replacing theology.
Yes.
who basically state that Israel has received all the curses and the so-called church has received all the blessings, which basically is, you know, it's a total lie, and they're believing this.
Yes, I know. They're deluded. You know, you can read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I think it's around verse 11, 12, something around there, where God says, if people have wickedness in their heart, and for that reason he's putting on them a deluding influence, that they will believe the lies, because they have wickedness in their heart, and they have rejected the Lord. So, you know, you can look at that and say, okay, we understand, you know, they have a deluding influence, and they're being allowed to believe the lies. But each thing brings us closer, I believe, to the end times. I believe that we're in the end times now, and God is fulfilling Bible prophecy as we speak.
Well, it's really sad that I meet a lot of people here that basically are more to the so-called Palestinians, and if they knew anything about history and they understand where the name Philistia came from, or the real name, which is called Peleshet. And this is where the origins of the so-called Palestinians are coming from a people that were basically nomads.
Right.
Basically came from, I think, Syria, Greece, or whatever, that were basically nomadic people. And they never settled anywhere near the land of Israel. Basically, they came to and fro to Syria, but never really even came into the land of Israel. and for them to take the name, Palestinians, they have to, Christians don't understand history with the name or origin came from. It came from King Herodian, who basically was punishing Israel after the uprising that Israel had against the Romans. And he said, well, I'll punish the Jews by naming the land Philistia, and then naming Jerusalem Capitolina. So people are blinded and they don't understand because they don't read. They don't even open up their Bibles. Hello. And
no, they don't. They just watch the silly news here, and the news, lies about everything. So they believe what, the lies, and that's it. And they don't do their own homework to find out the truth.
They say amen to everything. So and it's a really sad story. But tensions are high in the Middle East. If there's time to pray for the nation of Israel, I believe there is time, because we have seen what Russia has done by brokering a deal. And I don't know how John Kerry fell for this trap, but I believe that hidden agenda.
John Kerry's part of it. Don't delude yourself. John Kerry's part of it.
The hidden agenda is being, I'm seeing that the agenda being fulfilled of what I call a hidden agenda by the Obama administration to give more time. As he had given Iran 5 years or so, and nothing has been done. So things are basically unfolding, and if the listeners basically have time to listen, they can just read Psalms 83, where it mentions all these nations like Syria, which is basically mentioned on Psalms 83. And now we see what's happening here with these chemical weapons.
Well, okay. We've almost
I'm
going to
pull that up right now and let's see what that says. Psalms 83. This would be a good one to share with the listeners. O God, do not remain quiet. Do not be silent. And O God, do not be still. For behold, your enemies make an uproar, and those who hate you have exalted themselves. They make shrewd plans against your people and conspire together against your treasured ones. They have said, come and let us wipe them out as a nation, that the name of Israel be remembered no more, for they have conspired together with one mind. Against you they make a covenant, the tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagarites, Gebal, Ammon, Amalek, Philistia, with the inhabitants of Tyre, Assyria. Now we know who Assyria is, that was Iran, Iraq, also has joined with them. They have become a help to the children of Lot. Deal with them as with Midian, as with Sisera and Jabin at the torrent of Kishon. We were destroyed in Endor, who became as dung for the ground. Make their nobles like Oreb and Zeb, and all their princes like Zebab and Zaluma, who said, let us possess for ourselves the pastures of God. O my God, make them like the whirling dust, like chaff being before the wind, like fire that burns the forest, and like a flame that sets the mountains on fire. So pursue them with your tempest, and terrify them with your storm. Fill their faces with dishonor, that they may seek your name, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and dismayed forever, and let them be humiliated and perish, that they may know that you alone, whose name is the Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. Amen.
Amen.
If that word doesn't speak for itself, then I don't know how people can be blinded to what's really happening here in the Middle East. But I like what the last line says, that we win regardless
of
what we face. Israel wins because we know that Hashem, the God of Israel, basically will protect this nation.
That's right. Yes,
go ahead, Ms. Christina.
No,
we'll
honey, go ahead. That's right.
Well, I was going to say, Luke, and I was just listening to Ms. Christina read that, and it reminded me of September 7th, 1774, the first prayer in Congress lasted 3 hours. They said George Washington stayed mostly on his knees, and we're talking about a great man, but very humble. He had a great fear and awe of God. And so, it's basically the same thing as what you just read. And it is just, it's awesome, because Psalm 35 You know, it says, you know, may they be like chaff before the wind with the angel of the Lord driving them away. May their path be dark and slippery with the angel of the Lord pursuing them. And this is again, you know, it says on 22, O Lord, you have seen this. Be not silent. Do not be far from me, O Lord. Mm-hmm. Awake and rise to my defense. Contend for me, my God and Lord. And so I'm thinking, you know, these are really awesome words from God because, as you said, you know, it says at the very end, may those who delight in my vindication shout for joy and gladness. May they always say, the Lord be exalted, who delights in the well-being of his servant. My tongue will speak of your righteousness and of your praises all day long. And I think, you know, as we came in the very beginning of the show, I was reading that about John. I've been listening to y'all, and, you know, it's been awesome, awesome listening to you. And I think the listeners will probably like, I just mesmerized at the great information. But it does point again to what John was saying. I am the voice of one calling in the desert. Make straight the way for the Lord. And Ms. Christina, you probably have this in your heart because you just was sharing with me about an incident that just happened, two things that happened to you recently, a loss.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, why is it so important that John the Baptist was doing that? Because he knows, you know, this is not our home.
Right.
And we need to know Jesus. So with that in mind, listeners, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, all this news about what's going on, the Lord, we need to know because God says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. He does not want us to perish for lack of knowledge. But we
right.
do hope that you will search the word because it is a lamp unto our feet. And realize.
I'd like to share Psalm 46 with the listeners. This is what the Lord gave me this morning. And with all the news that we shared, it's not very, you know, uplifting news, but this is uplifting. And this is Psalm 46. We seem to be in Psalms today.
Oh, yeah.
And this is what God gave me this morning, Psalms 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar, the kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come, behold the works of the Lord who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. God of Jacob is our stronghold. Amen.
And, oh, Miss Christina, that word exalted is also in Psalm 35, is in verse 27. The
uh-huh.
Lord be exalted. So, you know, that's what he wants us to do. He
yeah.
wants us to exalt him from whom all blessings flow. And the sad thing to me is really not so much about the warfare, but the loss of souls. And so I do invite those listeners that do not know who we know, that they would ask him. You know, he's just a prayer away, right, Ms. Christina? Just a prayer away.
Absolutely. Oh. And during this time of Feast of Tabernacles, you know, when we talk of exalting God, that's exactly. We're to exalt him and have his joy in our heart and tabernacle with him. And keep our eyes focused on him.
Mm-hmm. I like what somebody says every Saturday that I listen to. Keep looking up. Your salvation draws near. So with that in mind, I'm going to close this in prayer. Luden, would you like to say any closing words for us?
Yes, I just like to thank you and Christina for having me share a little bit of what I'm learning here, what's happening. As you know, we have done over 350 interviews on our YouTube news channel. On the other hand, I'd like to see if any of your supporters would like to support the work that we're doing here in Jerusalem. And anyone can basically just donate to us via PayPal. And it's very simple, and they can donate or support our work to my email address, which is Judah, J-U-D-A-H, 92@gmail.com. And I believe you have that, Diana. You can basically tell the audience the email if they don't hear me correctly. But,
I think, Luden, you're going to like this. Ms. Christina, I've talked to Ruthie. And she said for me to refer him to your friend in Israel. So you take down his message, please, his email, and you know what that means. She was sharing with me that you're producing the new network news, breaking news journal in Israel.
Yes, we just started that. So,
yes. She wants me to tell you, yeah.
Awesome. Okay, so I need his email again, Diana.
I'll send it to you, Ms. Christina.
Okay, good.
I'll send it to you right now. But Luden, I'm going to go ahead and pray for you. I'm believing God is going to do a mighty move here for you. And, you know, God remembers you, Luden. I certainly have been, you know, thankful for all the good information you've shared throughout the years. And my heart is with you and your family, and I know God loves you, and God loves that precious baby. She's growing. But I'm going to pray for the listeners and for you, Luden, in closing, if you don't mind. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. You are an amazing God, Jehovah God. There is none like you. And, Lord, you said you are a jealous God. So I pray, Lord, that those who are listening will at this time, Lord, search their heart if they've not asked you before, Heavenly Father, as their Lord, their Savior, with what they're hearing is going on in Israel and abroad. Lord, they need to look at your Holy Scriptures to realize there's nothing new under the sun, that you had foretold these things. There is none like you. Lord, when we look at history, when we look at archaeology, when we look at astronomy, Lord, what is it that they search? They search your book. They search your word. It is like a compass that helps them search for truth. And boy, do they find plenty. So, Lord, we ask the listeners who have not considered you, when they hear the things that are going on, that they will realize they're not promised tomorrow. And, Lord, with all the things that's going on, the plans, Lord, we see it even with Obama and this administration, Israel is very high on the plan of everyone, Lord. And so, Heavenly Father, you've told us to look at Israel. They are a sign for us. And, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, it's sweeter than honey. So I just pray, Lord, that the listeners will look at your word and know that you love them so much that you gave this gift so that they would not walk lost, that they can find truth, that they will find help. And, Lord, you've given it to them through this book of love, your word. And, Lord, we just thank you for this privilege of being able to hear Luden, his heart, hear Miss Christina and her heart. And, Lord, we invite the listeners to find out who you are, Lord, because you hold eternity. So, Lord, we are not going to have a fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And we thank you, Lord, that it is a gift from you. And we pray that the listeners who are fearful, they will find that too. We thank you, Lord. We love you. We pray all these things, Lord, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And listeners, we invite you to tune in tomorrow night. We have John Bernard coming in at 8:30 tomorrow night, who will talk about the military, what's going on with our military in other parts of the world as well as here at home. And on Friday, We've got Meryl Hope, who's going to talk about, really, these codes. People need to know, what are these codes, these school codes, state codes? We need to find out there are plans regarding these codes. So anyway, may God bless you. May God shine his face upon you. Please go to cityonahill.tv and share our podcast. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye, Mr. Cino. Bye, Luden.